Morning, everyone. Take your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I do want to invite all of you to join us down on the bottom of Texas-Mexico border, July 5 through the 14th, 2018. Hopefully some folks from this church will go down with us. It should be really hot during that time of the month on the border. And we're going to go down and do a vacation Bible school for about 200, 250 young people. And several churches are going. Medora Community Bible Church is going from Medora, Kansas. Salina Village Bible Church from Salina will be coming. Hopefully some folks from here will join us. And then another church from Wisconsin, Faith Baptist in Wisconsin, will be joining us. So I'm encouraging you to come. Somebody's coming from your church on Tuesday night to our home. We have a meeting to get everything organized. And then, Lord willing, as we get closer, more details will come out. But Brother Toby told me to invite you, so I'm doing that. Would love to have you go along with us. 1 Peter chapter 2, hopefully you have found that in your Bible. I am not a singer. If I were to give special music, it would really be special. And people would be laughing. When I was young in our marriage, when I'd make my wife upset, if I started singing, it would make her laugh. And because I mix up the words, my voice, I've gone from monotone to diatone, she says. I'm up to two tones, whatever that means. And but I can't sing. But I want to give you a part of a song. Hopefully you can finish a part of it. So I'll just give you a little line, and you give me the end of it. And then I want you to think about it. Okay, here it is. The world is not my home. Okay, I am just a passing through. See, the people in the North can't sing that. Just a passing. See, that's not their language up there. They have to pronounce it out correctly. See, the folks down here, maybe, I don't know about Kansas people, but people south could sing this. I'm just a passing through. Okay, the next line. My treasures are laid up. Okay, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, I want you to keep that song in your mind as we look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Hopefully you found the verses, verse 11. We want to look at this verse. And I want to bring you a message entitled, Don't Be a Commoner. Now see, you don't use that word out here very often, but if you were with me in Massachusetts just a few weeks ago, they have where they go down on the commons and a commoner. Don't be a commoner. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's holy word, 1 Peter. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, notice verse 11. It says, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the music, the songs. Thank you for the organ special, Lord. And we thank you for the history of the church, going all the way back to the book of Acts. And we thank you for working in our life. Thank you for giving us health and strength, allowing us to be here. And I just thank you for that we can hold in our hands your word. And Lord, we give it honor today. We stand, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. And our hearts are open now, just like the ground when it's tilled, it's open. And the seeds of your word will fall upon that. I pray, God, that there'd be a harvest. Harvest in our lives, that we would hear your word, that we would heed your word, that we'd be a doer of your word. Lord, help me to preach. Help us to hear. And Lord, may you be exalted in our hearts and our minds. And may all of our attention, all of our focus be upon you and upon your word. Help us to learn. We pray all of this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't be a commoner. Now notice in verse 11, it starts off just like many of us when we write a letter. When we write a letter, we'll say, Dear so-and-so, and it says here, Dearly beloved. Now, who are we talking about? Who are these people that are so loved by Peter, so loved by God? If you'll notice in verse 10, it says, Who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Do we have any people in here that have obtained the mercy of God for your personal soul? Can you say amen? See, at a time in our life, we were not the people of God. And then when we believed on Him, when we heard the gospel, when we trusted Him, when we were saved, when we were born again, we became the people of God. We did not have His mercy. Then we obtained that mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. And He says, dearly beloved, okay, talking to the believers. Now notice that in verse 11, we have a little change. It says, dearly beloved, He says, I beseech you. Okay, I urge you, I plead with you. This is a very common phrase. The Apostle Paul used this phrase a lot. Romans chapter 12 is where he used it, where most of us recognize it from. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy, acceptable to God, which is our... Okay, you know that verse. This is the only time that Peter uses this phrase. The only time. Old tough Peter. Tough fisherman Peter. He says, I beseech you. I beg you. I plead with you. Now, notice it says in verse 11, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Okay? So in verse 11, God describes to us who we are. He describes us as strangers and pilgrims. He identifies us and how we should relate in this world. Our relation to this world is as strangers and pilgrims. Okay? So it's very important that we know who we are. Okay? We have a twofold identity. First of all, in verse 11, we're the beloved. We are loved of God. Greatly loved of God. And then secondly, to the world, we are strangers and we are pilgrims. Now, those two words, and you can tell that there are two words in your Bible, they are very similar. You look at their definitions in an English dictionary, they are very close together, strangers and pilgrims. But let me help us this morning to wrap our mind around these two words, because it's important that we understand these two words, because this is who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be strangers, and we're supposed to be pilgrims. Now let's look at that first word, stranger. We are to be strange to the people around us. We are to be strange to the people around us. When you got up this morning and got your Sunday clothes on, and your neighbors stayed in bed and drank their coffee and read the newspaper and turned on the NFL and what's happening in the pre-games and all that kind of stuff, they saw you get in your car and back it out of the driveway, and there goes those crazy people again. They get up every Sunday and head off to church. You know what they're going to do? They're going to give their money to the church. They are crazy. See, we are strange to them. They don't understand why we do the things that we do. Now, the Bible also says not only strange, but also pilgrims, okay? And that means this. This world is strange to us. As a stranger, we are strange to them, but as a pilgrim, this world is strange to us, and we don't use these terms very much anymore. We use the terms foreigner and foreign. Now, can you tell if somebody is not from here? If someone were to come into this town and come into this church today, how could you tell if they were not from here? What would be a giveaway? Go ahead, I'm waiting. How could you tell if they were not from here? The accent. Oh, we listen. You know, when you look at a Russian, and I work a lot with the Russians, they look like some of you. Until they open their mouth. They might even be able to speak English, but it's with an accent. I was in Massachusetts, and you ladies would appreciate this. I was at the Yankee Candle store. The biggest candle store you could ever imagine in your dreams, with all kinds of scents. Your nose, you can't smell anything after a while. It all smells the same. But I take my wife in there just to, do the husband thing. And so I'm going up to the door, and I look at this guy, and I can pick out a Russian, even though they look just like we do. He looked Russian. And so I decided, I don't want to embarrass myself, so I just decided to use a Russian word, and if he was Russian, he'd say something. So as we were passing at the door, I said spasiba to him. He didn't say a word. I'm saying, well, he must not have been Russian, and I was wrong. Well, I go on into the store, and I pick up a little thing to put some candles in for my wife, and here he comes with his wife. And they come up to me and they say, "You speak Russian?" And I go, "No." He said, "Well, you said a Russian." I said, I thought you were Russian, so I spoke a Russian word to you. He said, "We are Russians." I said, "Well, where are you from?" He said, "We're from Brooklyn, New York." He had his wife on a little trip up to the candle, factory. And so, but when he opened his mouth, he was a dead giveaway. And you know, if someone came in here today and they were from India, and they were wearing their India clothes, those clothes do not look like your clothes or my clothes. We could tell. And when the Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers, that we are strange to the world, and the world is strange to us, then there ought to be some things about us that when they see us or hear us or look at us or watch us, we're different. We're strange to them. They are strange to us. And one of the dead giveaways is our language. I was in Mountain Home, Arkansas last week, and I walked up to a guy that was coming out of the restaurant for breakfast. I was going in, and I said good morning to him and a few other words, but within 25 seconds, I knew that this man was a believer. So I just point blank asked him, I said, "Are you born again?" So he told me what church he went to, and I asked him when he got saved. But I could pick off in 25 seconds that this guy's a Christian because of the way that he talked. See, when our mouths open, it's a dead giveaway. What we talk about, what kind of speech we use, what we laugh about, how we say things, we're different. Should cuss words come out of our mouth? Yes or no? I was visiting with a young man. He was telling me that he worked for two men in his church. He was probably 17, and he'd worked for one, and then he was working for the other guy, and they had businesses in the church. This was in Belvoir, North Carolina, where I was at. And I was talking to this young fella. And he was in college. He was working these jobs, and he just was really disappointed. I said, "Well, why are you so discouraged about the jobs that you have while you're going through college? You know, every college student has to work their way through." He says, "Not about the jobs; it's who I'm working for." I said, "Well, you're working for guys in the church." He said, "Yep. But when they get to church, they talk like everybody else talks. They curse. They scream. They lose their temper." He said, "I'm disappointed in that. I've known these guys at church all my life. I've never heard them use language that they use when they're at work." See, we're Christians, my dear friend. We're different. We're different in the way that we dress. You know what we've become in our dress? We've become commoners. Haven't we? We've become commoners even behind the pulpit. Some of my contemporaries, they'll come up here with flip-flops on, and shorts, and shirt hanging out the back. I tell you, if the president came in, they'd have a suit on. They'll treat other people in the world with more respect than they will with God. This is where we got into. We've become very common, have we not? We're Christians. We are different. And when we look at this culture, we look at this environment that we live in, it should be foreign to us. Things are not right. Things are not right. They're not headed in the right direction, nor are they going to be headed in the direction, because this world is not our home. So we must not regard earth as our home. We must remember that we are temporarily living here and not set up such permanent places and build up such great things, build up such places that we're going to end up leaving behind. For the Bible teaches us that we are to lay up our treasures where? Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Many of us, we're just building our lives and building our wealth and building our possessions and building all for this world. One of our major problems is that we are tied down by the world. We're supposed to be pilgrims. We should be free to move for the Master, free to go. But we've gotten entangled with the affairs of this life. We have been choked by the deceitfulness of sin and materialism. We have encumbered ourselves with the world's goods. These things have become very heavy to us. They are holding us back. They are stifling us. And the Bible says for us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance and with patience the race that is set before us. But most Christians cannot run because they are tied down and they're weighted down with the things of this world. I have a friend who says to me, you know, I'm going to build a pool for my kids. I said, have you ever had a pool before? No. I said, you know how much work it is to keep that pool up? Some of you might have one. Some of us have some really big yards that we mow. And the grass grows every week, does it not? And we can spend hours and hours and hours mowing grass. For what? Just so we can mow it again next week. I believe in mowing grass. We've got to have an eternal view, and we don't have it. We are burdened down. We are slow to move for the Master. And many of us have very little experience being a stranger because we've been trying to fit into this culture. We've been trying to fit into it when we were young, and we're still trying to fit into it even when we get older. We're more concerned about this world than eternity. Many of us have become just like our neighbors, just like the heathen, just like the Gentiles. We have the same ambitions. We have the same aspirations. We have the same desires. And we live our life for this world. This Bible is telling us that we are strangers and pilgrims. We have lost that concept in our minds in America today. Strangers and pilgrims. That's who we are. Now, I want you to think about this. If we are biblical, how strange we are. Are the courts going to agree with us? Yes or no? Are the politicians going to agree with us? Yes or no? Is public education going to agree with us? Yes or no? Well, you guys are a quiet crowd today. I know that you can talk. I heard you earlier. We need to realize if we are biblical, we are strange indeed. If you look at chapter 2, verse 9, it says we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation. And then notice this, and nobody likes to be this, we are a peculiar people. Peculiar. That's what the Bible calls us. You look back in chapter 1 and verse 16, Bible calls us to be holy. The word holy itself means to be set apart. Set apart from sin and set apart unto God. That word itself means to be separate. That means that we are a foreign and we are a foreigner in this world. If we're biblical. Now, look at chapter 1 verse 17. I just want you to see these things in this book. Notice the last little phrase, chapter 1 verse 17. That we pass the time. Okay, we're going through life. We're passing the time. It says to pass the time of our sojourning here in what? What's the word? Look at it now. Chapter 1 verse 17. Last word. in fear, in respect, in reverence. Okay? We're going to pass our time living here on this earth in fear, in respect. Listen, as God's people, how respectful we are. When a child raises its hand to smack mama, that should make us go, I can't believe somebody's doing that. Somebody's not standing for the national anthem out of respect for our flag. It's unbelievable what we're involved in today, is it not? We have lost respect everywhere. Outside and inside. And listen, because we are Christians and because we are biblical, we go pass through our time here with a reverence and fear and respect, and we have respect. Listen, we have respect for those who are in authority. Whether it's the president or the police officer or the school teacher or the coach or the principal. You know how difficult it is to be in any of those positions today in this country? How respectful we should be of people's property. How respectful we should be of life, life itself. We're not very respectful. We are killing babies and we're going to be killing old people before long. It's coming. We have lost respect for these things. We've lost respect even for our bodies. For the human body, we've lost respect for it. And so we are different than our neighbors. If you look back here at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, notice what it says about our neighbors in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It calls them, notice it says that we live here, our behavior, our conversation, honest among the, what's the word? Gentiles. Do you see it? Maybe it says heathen in your Bible. Now, I thought we were Gentiles too. Yes or no? Maybe you're a Jew here, I don't know. But I assume most of you are Gentiles. You know what's different about us and those Gentiles in verse 12? Those Gentiles, they do not know God. We do. And so we are different from those that are around us. And how different we are, notice in verse 13, notice in verses 13 and 14 how different we are. Look at how we respond to the government. Okay? To the government. We're not rebellious. We're not rioting. We pay our taxes. We follow the rules. We follow the laws. And as the Bible teaches us, we live our lives peaceably and we live our lives quietly in the place that we're found. That's 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. We are different. Look at how we respond to the president. Notice in verse 17, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the what? Honor the king. And so, this is how we respond to every president. Even ones that we don't like, we still honor and we still respect. Then notice in verse 18 that whatever position that you and I have in life, whatever job that we have, whatever craft that we do, wherever that we find ourselves working, even if it was in a slave position, the Bible says, servants, be subject to your what? Masters with all what? There's our word again, fear with respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward, the perverse, and the crooked. Because when you and I, when we go to work tomorrow, when we go to work, no matter who our boss is or what company we work for, we know as believers that we are truly working for God. We work for Christ. Therefore, we are strange. We are different. Remember when I was young and I was working for a Japanese corporation, and I was the janitor in the place. I cleaned the toilets and mopped the floors and did all those. I was employee number 7. They have 150 employees now at the plant. I was number 7 there. I worked there for I don't know how many years. And I was a believer. They'd have time to start, time to end, break times, lunch times. Everything was on a bell at that place. And I wanted to represent God there. I wanted to represent Christ there. I wanted to be biblical there. And they used to call me preacher there. They used to have a lot of little jokes for me and little stunts for me and all kinds of things to, you know, to throw at me. But I just kept on representing Jesus Christ there. We're different. We're different. You can see it in this page. Now, why are we strange? Why are we different? Well, look back at chapter 1. And you'll notice in chapter 1, if you will, if look at verse 14. Notice as obedient children, we don't fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. We're not fashioned after this world. We are fashioned after God. We are fashioned after Christ. We are like the Bible. That's why we're different. If you go to chapter 2, take a look at chapter 2. And if you look at verse 21, notice in verse 21, we're talking about Jesus Christ. It says that He, in the middle of verse 21, chapter 2, middle of verse 21, that He has left us an example that we should do what? Follow in His steps. See, we follow Jesus Christ. We don't follow this world. That's what makes us strange and strangers. Makes us foreign. We don't talk like this world. We don't act like this world. We don't buy things this world buys. We don't live like this world lives. We don't watch television. We don't watch movies that have garbage and junk and filth. We are different, my dear friends. God says we are pilgrims and we are strangers. Many Christians and many churches have just copied this world. Many Christians have adopted the world's ways, methods, and practices, and they have failed to hear and failed to realize who they're supposed to be in this world. There's a call to us. You can look back at chapter 1 and you can see this calling. Look at verse 16. You can see it even in verse 15. But as He who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all aspects of your life. Verse 16, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are called to be holy. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, laying aside, and it gives out five different sins that we're supposed to lay aside. God is calling us to separate from sin. And then in verse 2 there, chapter 2, verse 2, God is calling on us to grow by the Bible. And then chapter 2, verse 19, this whole book, if you know 1 Peter, is talking about persecution. And he's calling on us to suffer persecution for our faith. See, if we're different, if we're strange, we're going to suffer persecution. Sometimes it's in mockery. Sometimes it's in ridicule. It's embarrassment. Sometimes they'll throw things at you. Sometimes maybe they'll hit you and persecute you. If you live for God and you're strange, people don't like it. Sometimes you might even lose your job over those differences. And so I want to say to us that we're living in a day where many strangers and pilgrims in the Christian world can't be found. We have compromised. We have assimilated into the culture. I want to ask, what has happened to us? We've become so familiar with our surroundings and so anchored into our little world and the little places that we live and the trinkets that we own that we have lost our impact. We've become attached to this world and we have put down roots, and I think our roots go a little deeper than you and I even think that they are. And our identity has become our home. Or maybe our job. Or maybe our sports team. Or our hobby. We are known as being a fisherman or a hunter. Or he works over yonder. Or he's got the big house over there. And our identity are wrapped up in these things of the world, and God wants us to view ourselves and to see ourselves as pilgrims and strangers. Our life is to be a pilgrim life. I'm asking you, are we living a pilgrim life? Do we have a pilgrim mindset? Do we understand that we're just passing through and this world is temporary and we're living for the eternal? Do we have that kind of mindset? So the call here is to us to not live like and not be like earth dwellers. See, earth dwellers, they give no thought, nor do they have any understanding about life after death. They don't think about eternity like you and I think about eternity. And so when the Bible calls us strangers and pilgrims here, this is a picture of the believer in the midst of a crooked and wicked world. We are passing through this world. We're pilgrims and strangers. We are not permanent residents. We are citizens of God. We are citizens of heaven. We are saints, and this world is not our home. Now, I like what Ephesians says about this, and you can turn there. I like for you to see it too, because I think it's important. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2:19, because it talks about this in a number of other places. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. You're no longer strangers and pilgrims. But, notice what it says, but, look at chapter 2, verse 19, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What it's basically saying is this: you're no longer second-class citizens of earth. You are first-class citizens of heaven. And I'll take that any day. Any day. I'll take first-class citizen of heaven, second-class citizen of this earth. And that's how we need to look at it, folks. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to flip there, Hebrews chapter 11, you remember a fellow by the name of Abraham. You remember Abraham, kids? Yes or no? You remember Abraham? Father Abraham? He went out not knowing where he was going. He was going somewhere what God promised him. Remember that? This is Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing where he went. Now, we don't know all things about heaven. We just know that Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place. And if I go, I'm coming again, and you're going to be where I'm at. I'm looking forward to that. And so he says here, verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. You see that in verse 11? He sojourned. Notice in verse 10, he looked for a city. You see that? Whose builder and maker is what? Is God. You see that in verse 10? Look on down verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is how we live even to this day. God has promised us many things. The Bible has promised us many things, and we are living by faith. But the Bible says they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. I don't think we're persuaded of them. I think we love this world too much. The Bible says that we need to be persuaded of them and embrace them and confess. Notice what they confessed. That they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I don't think we're declaring plainly anyone that we're seeking another country. I don't think we're plainly declaring that. I think we're mixed in our hearts. And we love this world as much as we love God. Not to be that way. So we need to be careful. Listen to me now. Don't misunderstand me. We need to be careful that we do not become too American. Because we live in a land, and you and I ought to know this, we live in a land much like Sodom. It was when Lot stopped sojourning, and he ended up in a little town named Sodom, that he destroyed his life and he destroyed his family's life and lost his testimony. And the problem is this, that you and I as Christians, as strangers and pilgrims, we have built our life a little too close to the ground. We spend our money on fancy decorations. We spend finances on ourselves and on things. And you know where those things end up? They end up in some estate sale with somebody walking through our house. They end up in some auction in some box. You thought it was worth $20 and somebody won't give you 25 cents for it. Ends up in some garage sale. Ends up in some Goodwill. And we can go through our houses and we can go through our barns and we can go through all this mass of finances that we got. And I run into somebody the other day who lost a bunch of money. And I said, you not only lost it for yourself, you lost it for God too, because you didn't give it to Him either. You not only lost here, but you lost the opportunity to give it for an eternal gift. We've got to think differently, my dear people. We have lost this understanding of being pilgrims and strangers. So am I a pilgrim on this earth? I don't know about you, but listen, our church takes a bunch of guys and they take them up to the mountains of Colorado and they take them backpacking and they think it's such a great deal to hike up to one of those mountains that have, you know, a certain number on. So they tell everybody what you could bring in your backpack. But you know, there's some people they want to bring more than what's on the list. But you know what happens after the first half day? You want to guess what happens? They start to leave some good stuff behind. They start putting it down. You know what happens by three quarters of the first day? They're leaving some more stuff. You know, that bag done got heavy. And they got a long climb in front of them. And they're still not there. And by the time they get three quarters, 80%. They finally got what they should have had in their bag to begin with. But they've lost a lot of things they paid for, a lot of things that was important to them, a lot of things they thought that was important to them. They done laid it down for somebody else. They think they maybe pick it up when they come back down the hill, but they're not going to pick it up because we go back down a different way. And they paid good money for that stuff. But they have to make a decision. Here's a decision that you and I need to understand. We need to pack light when it comes to this world. Some of you heard of a fellow by the name of George Mueller. Anybody heard of George Mueller? Over in England, ran children's homes, had 12,000 orphans in them. Somebody wrote that man had $80 million and his time passed through his hands. $80 million passed through his hands. When he died and he sold all of his estate, you know how much money he had? He didn't have $800 worth. Didn't have $800 worth. He was a funnel and a channel for God. He was a conduit for God. Oftentimes we are a cesspool. It comes to us and goes no further. We build our life on this earth. We need to ask ourselves, am I a pilgrim or am I an earth dweller? Do I really love God or do I really love this world? The Bible says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. The Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth what? Away. The lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of you guys have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? How many of you guys have ever read that book? Raise your hand up. Young people, I want to encourage you. Read Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. He wrote it while he was in prison. And it is an allegory. And it talks about this person who's going through life. And there's so many traps and there's so many distractions and there's so many snares that he could have been trapped in. And he kind of backed up a little and went to the right and went to the left a little and had his ups and downs. But he's got to pass through. It is a good description of the pilgrim journey that we have through this world. Now I want you to look at one last verse. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 now and verse 1. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, and what's the next word? What's the word? Scattered. You look at that and you go, scattered. What does that mean? They live in different little places? No, that didn't mean that. These Christians, these believers, they were scattered because they were persecuted. You read through 1 Peter, there's persecution all over this book. They were persecuted. So they were pushed from their homes. They were moved about. They lost their jobs, lost their land, lost their farms and everything that they planted, and it was due to persecution. And God is saying to them in this book, and God is saying to you and me in the world today, that this life is temporary. And our homes and our farms and our ranches are temporary. We will leave it all behind. But there are many of us who are living our life like Lot's wife. Do you remember her? Do you remember Lot's wife? She was in love with Sodom. She was told if she looked back, she turned into what? Pillar of salt. And that's what she did. And many of us, we're trying to live a Christian life, and we're looking back at this world because that's where our heart is. We are tied with a knot to the things of this earth when we should be tied with a shoelace string so we can snap and pull it very quickly and loose ourselves from it. Let's stand to our feet. I want to ask you, are you living for this world? Or are you living for God? Are you loving this world? Or are you loving God? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's be honest before our Heavenly Father. Let's do business with our God today. He already knows our living, our lifestyle, our conversation. He already knows if we're pilgrims and strangers or are we copying the world. He already knows where our love is. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. He already knows where our affection is at. What we need to do is if our affections have been in the wrong place, we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to come before Him and confess. We need to repent and say, Lord, I've been living my life too close to this earth. I am weighted down. I'm tied down in a knot. I can't move quickly. I have so much on me. We just need to confess and repent and begin to see ourselves for who we are as strangers and pilgrims and begin to live our life this way. I would ask if you want to come and kneel at the old-fashioned altar and cry out to God, you can do that. If you want to stand where you're at and continue to, you know, pray right there, that's fine. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are not a stranger and pilgrim. You're not a part of those who have obtained the mercy of God, but you can obtain it today because Christ has given it to all people, and you can receive that today. If you'll cry out to Him, just say, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done wrong in this world. I've sinned against You. Forgive me. You'll cry out to Him because Jesus Christ, His Son, shed that precious blood for your sins and my sins. He was buried. He rose again. He's living today. He has died for your sins and my sins, and He will save your soul if you'll come to Him. Maybe right where you're standing, you just cry out to God, oh God, save my soul. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved from your sins. Whatever God has spoken to your heart about today, I would pray that you would let the Holy Spirit have His way, that we would surrender to God, that we would surrender to the truth of the Bible. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, let us pray.